shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now.
Welcome back to The Highway Diary with Jeff Reeves.
And, what? With Jeff Reeves? No, this is The Highway Diary with Eric Hollerbach. Sitting co-host is Jeff Reeves. We talked about this, and all of a sudden, the Sousa recorder goes on.
My co-host has a funny opinion about this show. No, I am Jeff Reeves, the sitting co-host. There will be many along this trip.
I'm literally in the driver's seat as we go to visit my sister in San Francisco.
How long have you been doing improv?
9 years. I started when I was 17. I saw my first show at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York. I saw Jackie Clark. It was basically a show called Respecto Montalban with Jackie Clark, Rob Hubel, Paul Scherer. A lot of human giant people were on my first show that I saw. And then Jackie Clark was my teacher in level 101, and I just caught the bug, and I just got on the bandwagon. I've done it for 9 years continually.
Have you ever done stand-up?
I did when I was 16, a couple times, and actually when we moved out here, we went to one show in Newport Beach on this crappy internet show. So I do it here and there, but actually starting 2013, it's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to basically quit improv and just do stand-up in 2013.
I was not aware of this.
Yep. I made this decision a little while ago. I don't know. The thing about improv is, how do I put this lightly? You know, some of the members on my team aren't as experienced as me. Let's just say that. And sometimes after a show, I'm a little frustrated and stuff. And I'm like, well, I just want to really create like my own vision. Now I feel like I've like coalesced a comedic voice. And so I kind of just want to put that out there. Would just stand up and really give that a shot. So.
Oh, well, I was not aware of that. And very exciting.
Oh, thanks, ma'am. And I want to like, you know, bring this recorder I have and just like put a 5-minute set on the website and stuff. EricHollerbach.com, by the way, if you're interested in the what I'm putting out there, that's probably where you found this podcast anyway.
Frankly, if someone's listening to this podcast, they're already interested in you.
They're already at EricHollerbach.com for sure. So, but yeah, so that's my goal. Now, we used to do the Eric and Jeff show. Then, and I went to school in New York City. I was doing UCB. But Jeff kind of has taken a bit of a different turn. He's taking a more corporate route to Hollywood stardom. I'll let you talk in a second. Jeff's ambition is to be a director, and right now he's working for a movie.
That is accurate. Yes, while Eric's been much more interested in comedy than I am, I've always been more of the film buff. And just interested in old movies and new movies and basically cinema in general. So anyway, currently I'm working as a visual effects coordinator on a movie.
Now, what's fascinating to me is you're working directly with a A-list director. It's pretty crazy, like the scale. You're like kind of climbing the corporate movie ladder in a way, where I'm going more like the indie route. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's exciting is that in the positions that I've held on this specific project, I get to work directly with the director of the movie, who's a person who I admire and respect. And so it's really just interesting for me, especially as a movie fan, to hear how his creative process works and how he puts the movie together. And then, of course, on top of that, how he has to deal with the studio and all like the stuff behind the scenes that you only usually hear about and read about. And that
movie magic, you know.
Exactly. Well, movie magic and movie, I guess you could say, deals
now,
that go
Jeff,
on.
Jeff's basically, his thing is he wants to kind of go up the ladder, and then he wants to have a smoky cigar, you know, and then young actresses come into his place, and he's like, so, you want to be in the pitches? That's the track he's going, just to fill you guys in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I really have no... I would love to someday direct a movie that, people can walk out of saying, wow, that really was a really enjoyable time, and I had a great time. But more important than that, I want young actresses to, walk into a room and say, I'm vulnerable right now.
Right.
And I need a job.
That's what they say. As soon as they walk in, most they don't feign confidence. They go, I'm vulnerable, and it's really tight down at my clamp. I need some help.
And I want to be the guy to say, well, you've come to the right person, because I actually care about how quickly those pants come down.
Right.
So drop them, bitch. Drop them. You want to work in pictures?
Awesome.
Be a good girl.
Now, right now, I'm I'm working at a post-production company, just putting movies on iTunes all day. It's kind of rough, you know? So I like to entertain myself, you know? I get up to pee a lot. That's just a way for me to get away from my desk. I don't know if you guys have desk jobs out there, but...
Believe me, I have been to the bathroom before.
But you gotta entertain yourself when you have a boring desk job, so I like to...
Masturbate.
Well, here's a little Hollywood secret, you know? I like to go to the bathroom, and then if there's pubes on the urinal, I like to piss at them and watch them dance up the urinal. And I like to piss pubes up the side of a urinal with the stream, with, you know, the power of my piss, and then watch them come back down like Itsy Bitsy Spider after you flush the toilet.
Well, I don't blame you. I like to go into the public restrooms where you got the soap bar or whatever they call it, whatever you call it, like that brown, or not brown, a blue, like, circular disc that they put at the bottom of the urinal in the like, public restroom.
Urinal
cake. Yeah, that's what you call it. I like to piss directly at that and have my piss spray back at my thighs and then not wash myself after I leave, and nobody knows this when I've left the bathroom.
This is the weird thing. Girls don't know about peeing on urinal cakes, right? There's a little cake that emits bleach as you piss on it.
It looks like a crab cake, but more delicious.
A blue bleach. And when you piss on it, it does emit the smells. And it's like a fragranted beach smell. So if you're, you know, have a date later, you just piss on that cake. Make sure your thighs are nearby. And then you'll have a nice clean smell on your pants.
Now, if you want to piss into a urinal without actually getting anything on yourself, the key is to aim for one of the holes at the bottom of the urinal.
Bingo.
But no decent guy does that.
Why would
because
you?
Because everyone wants to know what their own piss feels like on themselves, because it's warm and it feels good.
And it's free cologne, too, when you're pissing the urinal cake juice on you.
Trust me, if you're about to get a blowjob from a girl, the last thing you want her to smell is your actual wiener. What
right.
you want her to smell
it
is your piss.
It smells terrible. Well,
yes.
You add, yeah. Smell the...
You need to cologne your balls and piss.
And then when she walks away from there, you've marked her.
Exactly.
You've marked her with every fluid possible.
It's a natural evolutionary process.
And she's going to be smelling like you. She's going to have your pheromones. She's going to be walking around with your stank on there.
Now, Eric, this is kind of a personal question.
Okay.
Have you ever peed on a girl's face?
I really haven't. No, have you?
I have not. But I've often thought about it.
Yeah.
How much fun it would be.
Now, I have seen a few pornos where that happens, and, I mean, honestly, it just really looks terrible. Like, it just pee smells bad. I wouldn't want to put a lady through that. I don't know. Maybe if it was a whore, like a Thai whore or something, and it's like a part of the culture. When in Rome, I'm going to pee on the Thai whore. But that hasn't come up yet, you know what I mean? What about
yeah,
you?
Well,
what's your policy?
I mean, I haven't done it, but the thing is, if I'm going to pee on a girl, I don't want her to just sit there and look depressed, because it's like, that takes all the fun out of it. I want her to kind of, like, shift her head back and forth.
And thank
and be
you
like,
for it.
Well, not necessarily thank me, but rather just be like, stop, get that out of my... Ow! Stop it!
Start gurgling.
Yeah, I want to show that I'm actually affecting her emotionally.
You want to leave your mark.
Exactly.
You know what's funny is, you know, we're just kind of figuring out the tone of this podcast, and my sister is going to... Maybe it's going to be a very different podcast with my sister's son, because I'm going to try to get her to talk crazy, and she's not going to want it, but we'll see. Anyway... We have some news stories, don't we, Jeff?
Yes, we do. And the very first one up is... Ooh, related to The Dark Knight. Batman says he is doing public service. This is Petoskey, Michigan. Michigan's Petoskey Batman, facing a felony count of resisting and obstructing police, says, "It's not up to the government to save us." Mark Wayne Williams, 33, of Petoskey, who faces a felony count of resisting and obstructing police in an investigation after Michigan State Police said he refused to clear the scene of an investigation September 29th while wearing his Batman costume, says he acts as the Petoskey Batman to perform a public service and keep an eye on the community, to Petoskey News Review reported Tuesday. "I don't want to be a police officer. I think what police officers do is great. But it's up to each person to take a stand and do something to make things better," Williams said. "A lot of times..."
Except for leaving the crime scene when the cops are working on it.
"A lot of times, what I've seen from situations I've been in, people see something going on and think the police will handle it. But if nobody calls the police or takes a stand, it's not going to help. Dressing up in my Batman, in my costume as Batman is my way of saying that it's not up to the government to save us, he said.
Wow.
Can't argue with the guy. I mean, he has a point.
He's got some points. Yeah, that's the thing. He's just probably, like, yelling at these people. He's spitting everywhere, contaminating the crime scene. They're trying to put things in little baggies, and he's like, how can I help? I'm here with them. He's just eating shit. He's some fat guy in a Batman costume. You know,
I gotta say, you know, from reading the article, yeah, there's a certain amount of respect you have for the guy. Like, oh, wow, he's trying to help out the community. He's having some fun while doing
it. What's with the costume?
What they don't really say or show is, what kind of costume is this? Is this like a legit Dark Knight Christian Bale costume that looks like it cost him $2,000? Or is this just a cheap piece of fabric that he created with his bed sheets?
They just say Batman costume. That leads it open to interpretation.
I have a feeling whoever this gentleman is likely homeless and likely a nuisance to the community.
Yeah. This is what happens in a downed economy. People get, they let people out of the insane asylum, and all of a sudden, this fucking idiot who puts on horns in his face and runs around ambulance chasing gets in his fucking weird philosophy in a newspaper.
I will say the hardest aspect of high unemployment is not rather people not having enough money, but rather having too much free time. And this is the kind of things that can happen when
someone is
left alone to their imagination for far too long.
And what this news article also doesn't say is the child support he's not paying for. The fucking, like, you know, the bills he's not paying. You know, come on, man.
Yeah, I be honest, I would not want this person protecting my community.
Again, yeah, if he doesn't have the decency to leave a crime scene, because that's what happened. He may have also caused the crime scene. We don't know. He may have vigilanted something.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. The chances are this guy probably caused the crime. I don't know if they how in-depth they investigated this person.
It seems like they wanted him to leave, though. He's getting arrested for not leaving a crime.
Something tells me this guy wants attention.
That's unusual. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a comedian, so I can't really blame a guy for wanting attention, but come on, pick something more constructive than this.
Well, nevertheless, moving on to our next news article. Man asks campus girls for kisses in Massachusetts.
Excellent move.
Well, I like where this is going. Let's see. Police at Framington State University in Massachusetts are warning of a man seen walking through campus and asking for kisses from female students. Campus police said on their official Facebook page Tuesday, the man, described as 30 to 35 years old and Caucasian with a bald or shaved head, has approached several female students on campus and asked them to kiss him and sign a piece of paper so he could get points for a scavenger hunt, the Boston Globe reported Wednesday. Police said the man was wearing a gray peacoat and was seen driving a gray car. Investigators said the man's actions are considered unusual but not illegal. They said officers are hoping to speak with the man.
Now, that is always a good move when you kiss a girl or make love to a girl. In this day and age of lawyers, get them to sign paperwork.
Key phrase here, unusual but not illegal. More power to this guy. Great idea.
Well, here's the thing. Did they prove that the scavenger hunt was real? Because I think that's a great move to go, hey, ladies, so I'm sorry to bother you. I have a scavenger hunt. I need to get 3 blowjobs and fist one of you. Okay, now, this is for charity. Please save the dolphins by giving me beaches and let me fist your ass. I'm just doing some paperwork here. Sign your name. This is legal.
Now, of course, whether the scavenger hunt is real or not,
he's getting laid with a fucking Word document that he printed out. Well done!
Yeah, this guy, frankly, has a great idea. He's not hurting anyone. He is asking, after all.
The judge said it's legal. I don't see a crime.
Now, they haven't reported whether any of the girls are actually kissing back or not.
He's asking. He's not raping.
Nothing wrong with asking.
He's asking. Hey, Jeff, can I get a little kissy? Maybe later. Okay, woo, thanks. Yeah, that is a legal contract. There was audio clip evidence.
Frankly, this is a creative pickup line. I say, police have no reason to talk to this guy except to ask for tips.
Yeah, this guy should write a book, man. I would read it.
Well, I'd give him a kiss.
Only if you had paperwork and he asked.
Of course, they say either bald or shaved head.
Yeah.
I don't trust this guy. Sounds like a skinhead. All right, moving on. We're moving on to a talking whale could imitate human voice.
Interesting.
Birds aren't the only animals that impersonate people. A beluga whale learned how to mimic the human voice.
Beluga whale.
Baby beluga whale learned how to mimic the human voice, a new study suggests. The talking whale was NOC, a captive whale that lived for 30 years at the National Marine Mammal Foundation in San Diego, California, until his death in 2007. Researchers first noticed something peculiar back in 1984 when they first heard people talking around NOC's enclosure when no one else was nearby.
He's singing to himself. People go away. He's in the tank alone. He just starts going, no da, no da.
Well, they say, you could hear there was a conversation, but you couldn't make out what they were saying, said study co-author Sam Ridgway of the U.S. Navy Marine Mammal Program in San Diego. The source of the chattering was later confirmed when a human diver thought someone had told him to get out of the whale's tank. It turned out to be NOC, repeating a sound like the word out. This was very rare and a first for me, said Ridgway.
He wants to escape.
Wow, a talking whale.
They're like, oh, that's cute. What is he saying? Get me out of this tank! Out! He learned to speak English to try to communicate. Whales are very intelligent, and he wants out of there. What do you think?
Well, I think that's actually a very strong hypothesis. After all, they say dolphins are the smartest animals next to humans. Whales, I don't think, are too far behind them.
Yeah.
You imagine if the reason someone is trying to talk, is trying to communicate something, I'm sure his was, kill me, please, get me out of here, I want to die.
I don't know about you, but I really don't like zoos, and the last time, actually, right now it smells like shit, because we're driving through a cow, a factory farm, known as Cowschwitz, on Route 5, on our way from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
I was about to defend the road by saying, it's sulfur, but I guess
that's
actual
cow.
Poo.
If you look at all those stables, oh, wow. Those are cows waiting to be slaughtered and shitting themselves.
Oh, America's Beltway.
It really smells bad here. Anyway, I really don't like zoos, and because there was one time, I went to Temple University in Philadelphia for a year, and there was these monkeys in the zoo, and they were freezing. It was like October in Philadelphia, and these monkeys are Amazonian monkeys, and they were just sitting around shivering, and then to feed them, they threw frozen berries at them. They're just like, eat these, you cold fuckers, and they were like, oh, look at the silly monkeys, look, at they're shivering, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always uncomfortable whenever you go to the zoos to see the monkeys, and of course they start jacking off in front of the kids. I witnessed that in San Diego, actually.
Really?
At the San Diego Zoo, of which I've been to twice, and yeah, wow. Sure enough, the monkeys, they have no shame in pleasuring themselves, no matter who's watching, including young ones.
How big was their action?
Well, that's a good question. It's been so long, I can't quite remember, but he was definitely going at it. Now, in his defense, he had his back turned. So he wasn't actually doing it kind of, you know, pointing at anyone.
He was modest.
Yeah, but it was obvious to anyone and everyone what was happening. I gotta say, monkeys, they're a dirty animal. and I don't mean, you know, in terms of, you know, rolling around in dirt, but yeah. They're perverts, frankly.
Back when I lived in New York City, we went to Coney Island, and we saw a manatee in the zoo there, and a walrus, and that thing inflated its dick and, like, stood up, and then started jacking off with its bottom feet. It kept inflating. It started jacking off with its top feet. It kept inflating. He started sucking his own cock.
Oh, my God.
Dude, walruses go bananas on themselves.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Makes you want to reincarnate as a walrus, eh?
Bananas, good choice of words. Actually, I learned a trivia fact recently that you probably already know. I did not.
Go on.
A lady that I work with, she's got three chihuahuas, and she was pointing out how there was one of her chihuahuas, you know, I used to pet back when I worked with her, and whenever I pet it, on occasion, you know, you'd see a little lipstick come out, and it would always be good for a laugh. But she pointed out that...
A little lipstick. You're saying you would pet the dog, and it would get a little horny.
Exactly. It would start to get erect, frankly. It was a male dog. I'm a male person. But nevertheless, it enjoyed it. However, she pointed out that when dogs actually have sex, the lipstick, that's just the tip. Everyone always jokes about, the lipstick is coming out. But no, when they're actually going to do it... Like
how much dog cock comes out?
She said, like, the dog cock, it's, like, nearly, at least for this chihuahua, was, like, the size of its own body, which was, like...
Whoa!
She said, like, longer than, like, a human's.
Wait,
than an average human's,
hold
I
on,
should say.
Hold on.
We're talking, like, 8 inches.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me... How did this lady know that her chihuahua's cock was 8 inches long when it's penetrating something?
Because she has three chihuahuas, a male, a female, and... their son. And when they were breeding, she was there watching it. She saw the male unload inside the female.
Wow.
And also, not only does, like, this enormously long thing come out and he, you know, just sticks it all throughout inside the female, but, you know, once he's done his business and is finished, they're stuck. And they're stuck for, like, a solid, like, half hour where you can't, like, separate them. And they're, like, in a lot of pain if you try to because you're basically his dick is
You can't just
stuck.
Get a pair of ice tongs?
And, well, I guess you can, but your dog's going to hate you for it.
Okay.
And so she was describing how, you know, she witnessed them have sexual intercourse, did the devil's business. And then and when it was over, you know, they basically laid there for half an hour. Keep in mind, they're all chihuahuas, but the female's about twice as big as the male. So this was, like, kind of awkward to watch.
Wow.
Or at least
so the little chihuahua had such a big dick, he put it in the female twice as big as him, and he stuck his, and the cock was stuck up her twat for 20 minutes.
This little Mexican chihuahua,
Jesus Christ,
totally unloaded inside this fat piece of shit chihuahua. and they have some beautiful children as a result.
They're up, man. So he gave her 8 inches.
Nevertheless, it got me thinking, what if with humans, if we had sex where, you know, once the male is done, you're stuck inside the woman and you can't leave for half an hour. It's like you're forced into cuddling.
Oh, that's the worst.
No matter how much you want to try to say, hey, shouldn't you be leaving now?
Yeah. Here's a towel.
We got one more thing to talk about, just to wrap up this episode, too, and that's where we live.
That's true. I live in Van Nuys, California.
Van Nuys, California, whereas I live in Venice, California.
Right.
Me and Eric, our first year out in California, lived together in Studio City. And we lived together for a full year, and then I moved to Culver City for a very short while. Then I was in Hollywood for a year, and then I was in Michigan last year for the movie, and then ever since January, I've been in Venice.
Our friend, our mutual friend Adam Chazen, won an Emmy.
Oh, that's right.
This infuriated you. You wanted to score.
It didn't infuriate me, but
no, it infuriated. But you. It made you jealous? Well, it made you. It inspired you.
It did inspire me
to go out there, get yourself some poo nanny.
That's exactly right.
My peer won a fucking Emmy. I can blow my beans up, some lady.
So to give a little backstory, when I lived in Hollywood, I lived with a very good friend of mine named Adam. And both he and I worked in visual effects. And anyway, I went on to the movie that I'm currently on, he went on to a TV show. And anyway, there was a Saturday where he won an Emmy for the visual effects on his TV show. And so it was a big deal, and I was very happy for him, and I still am very happy for him. However, you know, he was at the Emmy Awards in his tux, and he sent me a picture of him with Neil Patrick Harris. And I was thrilled for him, but at the same time, my current roommate was out of town, and I was home alone, and I was like, well, geez, my old roommate just won an Emmy, and I'm home alone doing nothing. So I decided, you know what? Tonight I'm getting laid.
Nice.
So I went to this bar by the beach in Venice, and more or less just started to get drunk. And I met this lady, a little older than I, as I said before, 10 years older, and we hit it off. She was nice enough to introduce me to her friends. She had explained how that morning she'd ran a triathlon.
Jesus
Christ. Yes. For those unfamiliar, triathlon is where you got to basically, like, jog for a few miles, and then you have to swim for a few miles, then you have to bike for a few miles.
And then you have to break cucumbers with your vagina for
exactly.
an hour.
So this is a woman who had just run a triathlon
now
that morning.
She's 10 years older than you.
10 years older, in much better shape.
Much better. Yeah, but she can crack your dick, man.
Exactly. Her vagina is a nutcracker, and I have some walnuts that are ready for her. So I, needless to say, bought her a few drinks. We started making out at the bar, got a cab back to my place, and proceeded to do the devil's business.
Now, here's the question. Did your penis engorge to the place where you were stuck with her, cuddling?
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but chances
are
yes.
How a chihuahua happens.
Oh, yes. I did chihuahua the hell out of her, but unfortunately, fortunately, it did not get stuck. So, once it was done, I was able to cry off into a corner like I usually do. I didn't have to see her face to face as I did that.
Great. Thanks, guys. This has been the Highway Diary.
What's up? It's Eric Hollerbach. I'm reminding you to check out my other podcast, Fudge House Rules. We did 3 new episodes. We're going to re-RSS on iTunes, all the old ones again. It's been 6 years in the making. Fudge House Rules is back. Also, look forward to the Damien Shadows web series. It's probably going to be out around February 2013. Also, check out my Facebook. Get on my Twitter handle. They're both Eric Hollerbach. Get on my news feed. I got the shit wired.